Thank you, Brother Jane, and thank you, Quinton, for sharing a good word of testimony with us tonight. I know that you'll pray for Quinton. Every ministry is defined by your first church, so I know that he's going to a good church, and I'm so excited for his opportunity. Because we brought this presentation into this service, I'm not actually going to the book of James tonight. We're in the midst of studying the book of James, and when we move into chapter 2, we're actually going to talk scripturally about what I want to talk to you about for just a few moments tonight as the future of our church. In James chapter 2, he basically talks about letting our faith be seen through the good works that we do. And that's always the way the New Testament presents it. We are saved by grace through faith, but we are created to be the workmanship of Christ. We're supposed to represent Christ in the world. And our church is headed very quickly to a very important decision. In fact, we will actually have a special business meeting next Sunday evening following the evening service. And next Sunday night, Aaron Loki will stand in this pulpit, and he will share with you some things that are on his heart. And you'll understand that better in just a few moments. I'm going to have to tell you a little bit of the story of my life in this church. Quinton has traced the last 20-something years of his life in this church. I'm going to have to go back actually a little further than that. About 22 years. I have had the privilege of pastoring this church almost 26 years. And when I came, there was a tremendous excitement about the church stepping forward in faith, moving forward in faith. People began to pour into this place, and we began to follow God's directions and build additional Sunday school space, and God was working in a powerful way through our Sunday school, as he continues to do even to this very day. But I had not been here even 4 years when I began to wrestle with an assignment that God has never let go out of my heart. God began to speak to me about something I stuck a little label on just for my own personal reasons that I called Mission Ardmore. It was the thought that this great mission-minded church needed to do as much as we could right here in this place. This church has always been very committed to giving to the cooperative program and to our associational mission work here in this area. Financially, we are some of the strongest givers in the state of Oklahoma in both of those capacities. But there was a burden in my heart that we needed to do some focused ministry and mission right here in our own city. And when I first began to wrestle with that, the church was moving forward very rapidly, including buildings and lots of other things that were going on. It was such a busy time. And it's true, perhaps in your life, sometimes God speaks to us and we just kind of put it on the back burner. And God, through his sovereignty, keeps bringing it back up to the front part of our life. And God just kept reminding me we needed to do some things in this direction. And when I would get serious enough to actually talk with God about this, my excuse was always much like Moses' excuse: why me? God, I don't know how to do this. What am I supposed to do? What does this look like? Now, what I can tell you is that over about a 22-year period, God actually has kind of fleshed out part of our mission umbrella that we call Mission Ardmore, to the point that we pour about $80,000 into that particular area of our work and ministry. We have a multitude of different missions and ministries that we support financially, We have two very key programs or ministries under Mission Ardmore that are kind of the premier ministries of that entire umbrella because they are more the ones we run and operate ourselves. First of all is the Downtown Mission, and that meets right across the street now. When it first started, it met down on East Main Street, and it has now operated for 10, 11, 12 years. I don't know how many years it's been in operation, but it has been here a good while, and we have had literally hundreds of people who have been touched through the Downtown Mission. It happens every Saturday night at 5 o'clock, but there's a lot of work that goes on before, during, and after all of the time that the mission actually meets. The second big event that came out of the Mission Ardmore umbrella is Celebrate Recovery, and it meets every week also on Thursday evenings. Both of these ministries are run completely by volunteers, as is everything that is under Mission Ardmore. But even with all of that, and by the way, one of the biggest steps we took as we came to the end of the 20th century, I made a suggestion to the church that if we were serious about Mission Ardmore, we had to put some money that direction. And so we actually began to set aside 3% of our budget giving toward Mission Ardmore, just like we set aside 4.5% for Enon Association, and we set aside 18% for our cooperative program. So actually, along with a couple of other things, or three or four things that are in our missions category of our budget, our missions category of our budget actually approaches 32% of our budgeted dollars that we spend. It's a huge chunk of our budget. And to be very honest, we have about 12 or 14 different entities plus some outside entities we support and fund and help and finance through things like Mission Ardmore. But the truth is, all of this has primarily been run just kind of on the side, with me giving just a little bit of direction here or there where it was needed, and primarily making some administrative type decisions related to the money and other issues that are involved in that. And so our entire missions category of our budget has never really had a full degree of leadership like all the other categories of our budget. I don't know if you know this or not, but every category of our budget is led by one of our pastors. And out of that ministry comes a budget that funds that ministry, and that pastor then is responsible for that section of what we do in that area. Okay, fast forward to about 6 years ago. In fact, it was just about 6 years and 2 months ago that we really came to a very enormous, crucial decision in the life of this church. It was what launched Fusion into our midst. And that was a crucial decision for this church to make. It was totally experimental. By the grace of God, we did something that hardly any Baptist church has ever done in all of its history. We did not vote on that. I ask your permission to just, let's just try it. Let's just see if it'll work. And so I don't know if you know this or not, but after 6 years, Fusion is still not official. It's still an experiment. And I think it's pretty well proven itself that when God directs us to do something, He does bigger and better things than we can ever imagine. And I don't know whether you would understand this or not, but that is probably in 42 years of ministry, the biggest decision I've ever made in my life. It was one of the hardest decisions I've ever made in my life. But you know what? I knew it was God's decision. I knew it was God's will. I have always learned to feel safe if I know I'm where God wants me to be. I think God will protect me from you guys if I'm where he wants me to be. But if I'm not where he wants me to be, I'm in a lot of trouble. And so once God makes something clear to me, I'm going to do everything I can do to try to do what he has asked me to do. Now, fast forward about 6 years down the road to just about the same time that 6 years ago we were making the decision about fusion. Well, I'm getting this chronology messed up here. Actually, about 3 years ago, began to get this strange sense from God that there was something else I was supposed to pay attention to, and I didn't know what it was. I figured it was my wife, because that's what he usually tells me I'm supposed to pay attention to. And I do need to pay more attention to my wife, but that wasn't it. There was something inside of me that God said, I'm gonna ask this church to do something. And God said something to me that really, really frightened me. He said, I'm going to ask you to do something bigger than fusion. And I'm thinking, God, it may be about time for me to retire. I don't know if I want to do something bigger than fusion. And I still don't know that that's a reality. That's just the thought that he kept impressing upon my mind. But it was really quite confusing, because I kept looking around, thinking to myself, what is this? What could we possibly do that is going to have a bigger impact than fusion? And strangely enough, God works in such strange ways. Aaron called me a few weeks ago and asked me if I would be willing to meet with him. A guy was coming down from Oklahoma City that represented the regional food bank, and he wanted to visit with us. And of course, it was on Thursday, which is my day off. And I didn't actually tell Aaron that, but I reluctantly said, yeah, I'll come in. So at 2 o'clock, I came in, and for some reason, I decided to invite Carl, our administrator, and Don Harrion, who is the director of Loaves and Fishes, to come and meet with this man, because I know that Loaves and Fishes gets most of its food through the regional food bank out of Oklahoma City. Okay, we come into the building here and we sit down with a wonderful man named John. I still don't know what his last name is, but just a wonderful man. And he starts saying to us that the regional food bank has a desire to expand their work and multiply their ministry. And they are choosing some key communities that already have a food distribution organization, such as we have here, Loaves and Fishes, to consider coming to those communities in a much bigger way, making a much bigger presence. In essence, creating a much bigger regional area where people can come that need food and can be resourced, but a bigger picture of being concerned about the whole person and trying to help them find other resources, so that we're not just giving them food, we're giving them connectedness, we're giving them hope, we're giving them help, we're giving them, as he put it, an opportunity to get out of the food line. Now, I must say to you, I am a hard person to sell anything to. I mean, you better be good if you're going to sell me something. And I leave most of those kind of things thinking, okay, that's great, but that's not for me. I went home that night and I literally, which is quite rare, could not sleep. And I kept thinking about this, because the man said two things that he would have to have. He said, I've got to have a key person and I've got to have a key organization for us to do this. And I kept thinking about that all night long. And I got up the next day, and as I have told you not to do, I did this. I just flipped my Bible open. I thought, God, I wish you'd give me some kind of word about this. And I promise you before the Lord, my eyes fell on Proverbs 3:27. It says, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do so." I'm telling you, God could not have stuck a dagger deeper into my heart. You know, I have lived all of my 20-something years here in this church telling us to whom much is given, much is required. And God says, why would you withhold your strength and your influence in this community to help something like this happen when it's within your power to do it? And I said, but God, he wants a key person, not just a key organization. And folks, I am tired. I don't know if you look at me and realize that, but I am tired. I am worn out. And I'm thinking, I can't do this. I can't be the key person for one more effort that we do. And God said, I'll take care of that. And like a lightning bolt, conversations began to come to my mind that I had with Aaron Loki over the last 2 years. And Aaron has really felt this movement of God in his life toward missions. And I think that's wonderful. Aaron has done some of his best work in the mission area connected to our youth and our church and the work that's been done there. And then suddenly the picture just all came together. What we desperately need around here is a mission pastor that can direct everything we're already doing and then lead us to do things we're not yet doing that God wants to do. And here's the good news. We've already got the person. We don't have to go out and find somebody to do this. We have the person ready-made that God wants to do this assignment. I really can't think of anything more strategic that this church needs right at this time. And let me tell you why this would be vital. It is vital for several reasons. One, the assignment I'm speaking of would be first and foremost to be sure that our church, not only today, but in the years to come, is fully educated, fully inspired, and fully motivated to continue to support the collective mission work that we do as Southern Baptist. We need a staff person that will see that that happens for the whole congregation. And then secondly, we need someone who could be the point person for the Mission Ardmore umbrella that we have already created. That in itself is a big assignment. And someone needs to seriously see that that is run effectively and efficiently and that it does all that we intend for it to do. And then finally, we need someone who will explore those new opportunities to see where God will connect us to serve in a greater way than we have ever served. We are coming toward a generation who wants to do more than just give money to mission causes. We're coming to a generation that wants to do missions themselves. And missions always starts in our own Jerusalem. It expands from there and goes forward from there, but it always starts in our own Jerusalem. And the first mission trip we need to go on before we go on any other mission trips is our mission trip to our own city. Interestingly enough, Aaron, in some of the youth mission trips, has had mission trips that were to Ardmore. And he actually told me those are the hardest ones to put together. So we need to take our church on mission trips with the idea that we would create bite-sized mission opportunities for multitudes of people to plug in to various assignments that can make a real difference in our community. And those are so numerous we can't even begin to name them all. But you see, we need not only the volunteer who's willing to give an hour or two of their time, we need a person here to find the opportunity to organize it, to bring it together. And when that happens, there are great results. On the side, we have done some of that. Just a couple of weeks ago, we were presented the award from the Salvation Army for making the most money during our bell ringing during this season, and that's just become a little contest between the Sanctuary Worship Service and Fusion. Each of us take a day, and Brother Gene helps organize our side. But all of those are just secondary things rather than primary things. And so it is my deep-seated conviction that now is the time for this church to take another step forward and add another pastoral assignment to our ministry team called Missions Pastor. And that assignment has been written out. It has been looked at by the personnel committee. The personnel committee is ready to recommend that to the church. And so we're going to hear from Aaron next Sunday night, and then we will vote on a recommendation to add this position to our ministry staff. Now, let me make something clear. We're actually not voting on Aaron. So even if we don't adopt the position, that doesn't mean Aaron doesn't have a job, because he's still our youth minister right now. If the church chooses to go forward with this adventure, then obviously, we would also begin a search for a youth minister that would come in and take on the full assignment of the youth ministry, as Aaron has done effectively now for 9 years. All of this brings us to a point that every individual and every church that walks with God ultimately has to come to. Will we just sit in our comfort zone and happily die together? Or will we step out in faith and say, God, we want to do everything that you have called us to do? Amen. Let me tell you that the greatest blessing I've ever had in all my life is to have a church like this that always says, let's go. I cannot tell you what a blessing that is. But I also cannot tell you what pressure it puts on me as your pastor. You see, I have pastored churches that I didn't even have to pray about what I was going to present to them, because I knew they were going to reject it anyway, so it didn't matter, you know. I didn't have to pray about it. But I can promise you this, I would never bring anything to this church that God had not deeply, deeply put into my heart, because I know you're likely to do what I ask you to do under the Lord. And I would never want to lead this church anywhere that would take us out of God's will. So here's what I need you to do. I need you to pray. I need you to ask God to get you ready. And I need you to pray for Aaron as he comes next Sunday night to share what excitement he has in his heart about this new possibility. And then I want you to come to our business meeting. And I want us to decide what God wants us to do. And then I want us to do exactly what, as a church, under God, we choose to do. Let's pray together.